In the classic movie that came out in the 80s called Raiders of the Lost Ark, the movie takes place during the time of World War II and when Nazi Germany is on the advance. And there is an American archaeologist whose name was Indiana Jones, who was legendary, who was summoned to go and to find the Ark of the Covenant that was somehow they thought was buried in Egypt, because Hitler had wanted to get the Ark of the Covenant and put it in front of the German army, thinking that would make him invincible. Now, it's all made up, but it's the whole story. And so Indiana Jones embarks on this quest to find the Ark of the Covenant and to seek it and find it before anybody else did. They got to this place in Egypt, and there he found the Ark in what was called the Well of Souls. And he grabbed the and he got the Ark and he lifted it out and put it on the poles at which it was in, and began to take it. And the Germans found it and they captured it. And the Germans took it, and the end of the movie, they get to the end of the movie, and the Germans go and try to open the Ark without paying the respect it is due. And if you've seen the movie, how it ends, God's wrath comes down upon them and they're destroyed. That is kind of what, in a way, was happening in our scripture this morning. David desired to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Israel, to Jerusalem, the capital, now that he could set up his kingdom, as we've seen last week. And he set up his kingdom and he began to reign. And the Ark of the Covenant had been dwelling in a man's house named Abinadab, and there God's presence was abiding upon him. But David wanted the whole nation to be able to have the benefit of God's presence in their midst and a place where they could together go and worship God. So he desired to have the Ark of the Covenant brought there. The Ark of the Covenant, if you remember, was made and placed in the tabernacle, very special, hidden, that no one could see it except the holy priest who would go in, the high priest, one time a year. And no one was to see it. And God had described a certain way in which the Ark of the Covenant was to be transformed. We're going to talk about that. But as they got the Ark, he put it on a cart, and they began to take it to Jerusalem. And as they did, the cart stumbled, the oxen stumbled, and a man named Uzzah, who was accompanying, reached out his hand to stabilize the Ark so it wouldn't fall off the cart, and God struck him dead. He said, wow. And David was frustrated, and he said, how can ever the Ark of God come to me? How can God's presence come to me? I'm seeking to bring the presence of the Lord to the people, and it's not happening. How can I make this occur? And David was angry, and it didn't go the way he had planned, because he had thought and didn't do it in the proper way. This morning, we want to bring in the presence of God, and we come this morning to seek his presence. And today, his presence doesn't dwell on the Ark of the Covenant. His presence dwells in us. And he calls us to seek him and to seek after his presence and his glory in a personal way, and to be men and women after God's own heart. And as we see in this chapter, we'll see why David was a man after God's own heart, because he learned some principles from this account and from what happened in this event that really changed his life. And the same with you and I, as we're seeking to become members after God's own heart, seeking the Ark, seeking God's blessing. The first thing we learn is that if you and I want to be people after God, a very important lesson is we got to do things God's way. See, God had prescribed a certain way in which the Ark of the Covenant was to be handled and transformed and transported anywhere. It was built and put in the tabernacle in those years whenever Israel had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. The tabernacle would move from place to place. And every time God instructed him to move, his glory would lift up from the tabernacle and move. And when it did, they knew God was leading them somewhere else. But before the Ark of the Covenant could be transported anywhere, the Levites would have to go in. They would have to cover it, and the priests would have to cover it over. And then they would insert these poles in these rings. And they were instructed to carry it on these poles. No one was ever to touch it, and it was to be transported by poles covered over. But David, being king and was a pragmatist, he thought, there's an easier way. After all, I want to bring God's presence down to Jerusalem, and it's up on a hill. The easiest way David thought this could happen is put it on a cart, and we'll just roll it down the hill on the cart, and it will be a lot quicker, and it will be a lot easier. And after all, what difference does it make? But you know what? It made a difference to God. Because see, if we want to be people after his heart, we got to do things as he prescribes them for us. Now, I thought maybe David thought it was a little thing. What does it really matter? But it matters to the Lord. And what this teaches us is there's no shortcuts to spirituality. David wanted to take the easy way. He wanted to do it the easy and quick way to get to seek God's presence. And God had a prescribed way in which it was to be done. But you and I sometimes too like to take the quick and easy way. And there's no shortcut to our spiritual growth. It's what God has prescribed in his word, spending that time with him, spending that time in prayer, not shortcutting what he has given to us or whatever it is in our life. If we want the full blessing of God, we got to do things his way, right? We get messed up in life when we start doing things our way. And because we think we know better or can have it figured out maybe better than God did. And David thought he had it figured out better than God. Putting it on the new card, what was wrong with that? What was wrong with wheeling it down and transporting it that way? Nothing, David thought, but it was to God because that wasn't how God prescribed it. This was how it was to be done, to be covered over and carried in that prescribed way and doing things in the way that God has laid out for us. So if you and I want to be people after God's own heart, do things his way, no matter what it is, when it comes to how we handle our finances, when it comes to how we treat others, when it comes to how we live our life, when it comes to how we control our tongue, whatever it is, God has prescribed for us the way in his word. And he's given it to us. The scripture says that his word is a guide into our pathway to show us the way in which to go. And there's no shortcuts to holiness. There's no shortcuts to being men and women of God. It's following his prescribed way in the way that he's given. So do things God's way. The second lesson we learn from the scripture is sweat the small stuff. Now, we've all heard that saying, don't sweat the small stuff. I mean, like, don't be concerned about the small little details of life, the minor things. Don't be concerned about that. And don't sweat the stuff that doesn't seem to matter. In this case, David learned the hard way that we need to sweat the small stuff. We need to be concerned about the little details of life. Whenever they put the cart, the ark on the cart, and they began to wheel it down, and it hit that hill. And as it reached out his hand to touch it, to stabilize it, God struck him dead. And we see him, that seems severe. That seems strong. But what was God saying? He was saying, don't take me lightly. He said, because of that irreverent act, the Lord struck him dead. Sweat, he was saying, sweat the small stuff. What's important? And David, after all, was probably thinking as king, so what difference does a couple little rings on the outside of the Ark of the Covenant and a couple poles put in there, what difference does that make to God, whether we put it on a cart or whether we carry it? It doesn't really matter, David thought. But God says it does. And as men and women of Christ seeking to love him, we need to pay attention to what God says is important. Those little rings and those poles were important in how it was transported. And David ignored that. And details matter. We need to care about the things God cared about. And God apparently cared enough about those rings and how the ark was to be transported that he gave instruction to Moses. It was put in the scripture and it was recorded even for us in this account and recorded for us to know about it. So apparently it's important enough for God to know that he wants us to care about what he cares about. And he cares about people that need him. He cares about our heart. He cares about you. He cares about the small things in our life that seem insignificant, but they're important to him. There's a scripture that says, it's the small foxes that can run in our fields and destroy when we let them go. And it's often those small little things that we go in our life that we don't pay attention to. We think it's insignificant. It doesn't really matter. But it does. And David learned, I got to sweat the small stuff. I got to be concerned and not take God lightly, to take God and his word seriously. And that what he says and what he's revealed to us is important about himself. So don't neglect those little matters. Give them our fullest attention. Don't let anything go by that we feel God doesn't care. He does. His way, do things his way, and sweat the small stuff. The third thing we learn, big lesson David learned, is if we want to be men and women after God's own heart, learn from your past sins and change your behavior. David in verse 9, it says that he was afraid of the Lord when this happened and Uzzah died. And he said, how can the ark of God ever come to me? And they took it. They didn't bring it to Jerusalem. Then they took it to Obed-Edom's house, and it stayed there for a while. And his house was blessed, and God blessed him. And David thought, how is this ever going to happen? How am I ever going to get the ark of God's presence into Jerusalem? But something happened in David's heart. Because as he looked over this incident, he learned that I didn't deal with God the way I should have. I didn't do things his way. I didn't take care of the small matters in my life. And I thought it didn't matter to God. And he learned. And he repented. And he changed his behavior. Go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And this is the parallel portion of this scripture. And sometime later, David says, we're going to try to bring the Ark of Covenant back up to Jerusalem again. But this time we're going to do it God's way. And chapter 15, verse 1 says, after David had constructed buildings for himself in the city of David, he prepared a place for the Ark of God and pitched a tent for it. And David said in verse 2, no one but the Levites may carry the Ark of God, because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever. Uzzah was not a Levite, and he realized we did not do this God's way. And he said, no one but the Levites are to do it. And he assembled all the Israelites together. And then after the Levites came and they carried it in the way that God had prescribed on the poles. And chapter 15 outlines that, and the rest of this chapter does as well. And David learned from what he had done wrong, and he changed his behavior. You and I, when we do sin in our life, we do make those mistakes. God is willing to forgive, and God does forgive. But to be men and women after his heart, we need to learn from those and not do the same things over and again. But to learn from the past, to learn from our mistakes, and to change our behavior and to live in a way that is honored to him. David had learned that. And they brought the ark up, and it says they celebrated, and they did it in God's way, and they were successful, and they brought it into the place that David had prepared because he had learned the lesson. Us as well. Learn from what we do and change our behavior. The fourth principle we learn from this is don't hold anything back in worship. Notice what happens as this continued on in chapter 7, of chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, beginning in verse 16. It says, the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, the daughter, watched over from a window, and she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him with all his heart. But it said that David had on an apron, and he sang and he danced before the Lord, and he sang and rejoiced, and he offers a celebration before the Lord, and he danced wearing a linen ephod. with all his might, it says in verse 14. He danced with all his might before the Lord while the entire house of Israel brought up the ark with shouts and sounds of trumpets. He didn't hold anything back. The scripture says he was so full of joy when the ark of the Lord was coming in to the city of Jerusalem. He danced before the Lord. He celebrated. They offered gifts. They offered sacrifices. The whole nation sang. They praised the music. And they didn't hold anything back. But Michal, his wife, she saw him dancing before the Lord, and she despised that in her heart. And later on, we're going to see what happened to her. God's judgment came on her as a result of that. But David didn't hold anything back. He wasn't inhibited at all. He danced. He offered sacrifices. He rejoiced. He was full of praise. And when we come before the Lord sometimes and God's presence is with us, sometimes I feel we get a little inhibited. You know, maybe God's blessing in our heart and he's moving. And sometimes we feel like maybe lifting our hand or shouting and we're like, you know, what will someone say? Or if I get a little happy in church and I feel like dancing, or what's someone going to say? You know, and we get that we're inhibited sometimes. David wasn't. He just gave it all to the Lord and he didn't care. And he came before him with total reckless abandon. And that's how God wants us to come before him. He didn't hold anything back in his giving. He sacrificed a bull and fatted calf. He sacrificed what he had. He gave of his wealth. He gave of himself. And he rejoiced with joy in the presence of the Lord. But sometimes we have that inhibiting. We are afraid to say amen. We're afraid to sing. We're afraid to, because, you know, I don't know what people are going to say. But being people of after God's own heart, don't hold anything back when we come to worship. If God is moving in your heart, express that and share and celebrate. That's what David did. And the fifth thing we learn from this is be more concerned about what God thinks than what others think. And sometimes I think the reason why we get inhibited sometimes is because we get more concerned about what other people think than about what God thinks. Notice what happened when David got back home in verses 20 to 23. When the ark was finally brought to the place that David had prepared for it, there was great celebration. All of Israel was rejoicing. David was dancing before the Lord. He was shouting. He was offering his sacrifices. The whole nation, there was music, there was celebration, it was a party. But his wife, Michal, saw him dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in his heart. And it says that when he returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls and of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his household when he appointed me as ruler over Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children until the day of her death. Michal said to David, "Boy, how you looked as the king. Boy, you were really good. There you were, the king, celebrating and dancing and acting like a fool in front of everybody. That was really good of you. How undignified." And David said, "You know, I was worshiping the Lord. I was celebrating him. I don't care what other people think. And if I need to, I'll become more undignified than this because I am worshiping God." And he didn't care what his wife thought. But you know, sometimes we can get wrapped up and we're more concerned about what other people think of us than what God thinks of us. And that's why sometimes we can be inhibited or we feel not as free as we should. And David said, "I will worship him. And I don't care what you think. All I want to do is please him and the one who honors me. So do things his way. Sweat the small stuff. Be concerned about the little details. They do matter. Learn from our past sins and celebrate and change our behavior. Don't hold anything back in worship. Give him all we have. And be more concerned about what he thinks than what those around us think. And that's how we become men and women after God's own heart. That's how we seek his presence in a way that glorifies him. And that's how our hearts are knit closer to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of David, a man who did not hold anything back. He had a passionate heart for you, and he sought after you with all that he had. A man that as well did not care what other people thought in his expression of worship to you. He didn't hold anything back. He gave himself, dancing before you with joy, shouting, singing, giving, offering, giving praise. And he didn't care what others thought because he was doing it from his heart of praise to you. A heart of gratefulness of who you are. And Lord, may we come before you with that same kind of heart that we don't feel inhibited, but we don't hold anything back, but we give you ourselves. And when you move in us and we feel like shouting, we feel like saying amen, Lord, help us not to be inhibited in that, but to feel free to express ourselves to you. Because, Lord, we're pleasing you and we're worshiping you. Lord, help us not to be so concerned about what others may think about us, but more concerned about what you think about us and bringing glory to you. And Lord, when those times when we do fall into sin and we do make mistakes, and we all do, help us to learn from those things and to change our behavior and to do it your way. David learned that lesson. And he learned that what to follow your prescribed plan. And help us, Lord, to do things according to your way, as you have spelled out for us in your word, your guidebook for our life, and how to live our life successfully. And every time we try to go our own way or make up our plan away from yours, that's when we get into trouble. So, Lord, help us to follow the guide and the plan that you've laid out for us in the roadmap of life, that we may successfully run the race and cross the finish line well. That we may be men and women after your own heart, seeking to know you and to love you better as we follow you daily. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.